Hey, everybody, before we get you into this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey, we want to give a big shout out to our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena, who were recently given access to the Meta Store. That has been something they have been trying to achieve for a long time. And right now, in your VR headset, if you go to the Meta Store, guess what's there? NHL Sense Arena. You no longer have to go to their website to download the game. We've said it many times on this show. We love what Sense Arena is able to provide for you, the listener, to your young hockey player in a VR way to experience the game like never before. And as you can imagine, now that they're on the Meta Store, things have changed a little bit. We are now offering 10% off an annual plan of NHL Sense Arena when you use the code, and you might want to write this one down, HNS-72A36D. Leave it to Facebook for an ad like that, HNS-72A36D, and that'll get you 10% off your annual plan of NHL Sense Arena on the Meta Store. But without any further ado, let's dive into this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey right now. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. What are we talking about today? Yelling when it's right, when it's wrong. And really, we dissect into just kind of how to yell or approach kids or raise your voice and everything that goes along with it. It's a really good discussion. It's one of those topics you don't think about. But when you get into it, we really went a lot of different directions with it. I think it's one you're really going to enjoy. So enjoy this episode. And as always, this one's brought to you by When Hockey Stops. Check out whenhockeystops.com. The book is coming very soon. When you're listening to this, they should be shipping as soon as next week. If you support us, you support the content, you support the show, make sure to check it out and pre-order your copy today. whenhockeystops.com. Again, children's book we wrote, Christy and I. It's about 75 pages long. If you're 8 to 12 years old, it's for you. And it's about dealing with adversity. So we appreciate the support. Also, if you love this show, if you like this show, subscribe to it, like it, comment on it. Make sure you give us a good review wherever you're listening to the podcast. It really, really does help us out if you find value, and tell your friends about it as well. That enough selling? Did I sell it enough, guys? I did. All right. Enjoy this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey. Hello, hockey friends and families around the world, and welcome to another edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. I'm Lee Elias. That's Christy Casciano Burns, and that's also Mike Benelli. If you're watching us, if you're listening to us, that's Christy Casciano Burns and Mike Benelli on there with me. And today, our topic is all about yelling. If some of you can tell, I came on the call this morning and Christy goes, Lee, what's wrong with your voice? And I said, is there something wrong with my voice? She goes, yeah, it's kind of crackly and deep. And we investigated together and came to the conclusion. This is sometimes how topics come up here. She goes, were you yelling on the bench this weekend? And I said, you know what? I had to raise my voice on the bench this weekend because we were in an arena where they're just blasting music and I couldn't talk. To the kids. I had to actually really, like, I don't want to say I yelled at them, but I really elevated my voice. And Monday morning, you know, a little cold water here. I think that's what's happening, but it brought up the topic. Mike, Christy, yelling in hockey. Is it right? Is it wrong? What's the difference between yelling and raising your voice? How it works, so forth and so on. And I thought that was a pretty good topic idea because, you know, from everything from coaches to parents, I can hear the parents yelling at their kids. Such a great tactic says skate with the puck and shoot, you know, real coaching there. I'm just kidding. Parents, if that's you, I'm teasing. I know in the heat of the moment, we all say things like that, especially at NHL games. But I wanted to have this conversation about from a coaching standpoint, is it right or wrong to yell at the kids? Christy, let's start with you since you understood my vocal cords this morning. I want to start with you.
I did. and I'm glad you clarified. There is a difference between raising your voice and yelling.
Right.
If your kids play sports long enough, sooner or later, they're going to run across a coach who loves to yell and scream at them. I've never found it to be helpful, and I've always tried to help my kids work through it. What we've seen when the coaches do that, and there've only been a handful, it tends to intimidate the kids. At times they may humiliate them. Not good tactics. I never see those tactics work. So if you've got a coach like that, how do you help your kids deal with it and work through it? I've always told them, don't take it personally. This coach is trying to push you to make you better. So instead of giving into your feelings of, oh my gosh, I can't do anything right, I'm a horrible player, listen to the critiques. What is he or she critiquing you about? Is it your skating? Is it your stick handling? And listen to them. Maybe you can work on that. Pull the coach aside at one point and just ask, hey, coach, you know, I'm trying really hard. What am I not doing right that you're yelling at me all the time? And chances are the coach will let their, you know, defenses down and say, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't realize I was making you feel that way. a good coach is going to have that heart to heart with the kid and say, hey, it was nothing personal. It's just my style. And it's really good for kids to get used to that now, because down the road, they may come across a boss one day in their life who's also a yeller and a screamer. So if they get used to knowing how to deal with it, don't internalize it, but take it as not personally, but maybe I can improve and work through it. And coaches, if you're listening, just take a moment and think about what you're doing and how you're impacting the kids. Are your tactics really effective? Maybe not. Maybe you ought to, you know, tone it down a few. What do you think, Mike?
I'm a yeller, definitely. But I'm a yeller just by nature, just especially when you're on the rink. I do a lot of ice hockey. I do a lot of lacrosse. I do a lot of, you know, sports where children are spread out
right
across the ice in the field. So I tend to project my voice often. And then I would say I'm a situational screamer, and meaning
I like that.
I'm going to make that a t-shirt for you, Mike. Meaning a situational screamer.
So sometimes I'll have to lose my mind a little bit, you know, just to kind of get the attention of the kids. And,
but not,
you know,
to intimidate them, right? Let's just clarify here.
It's I'm probably intimidating them a little bit. No, I probably am intimidating them a little bit. I mean, I think it all depends on the age. I'm not doing that. So I'm yelling vocally, like with the 8Us and the little rookie league kids, right? And I'm probably screaming every once in a while at the 14Us. And it's more like, you know, not get your head out of your ass type of stuff, excuse me, but more, more like just attention getting. And you know, and then again, but I don't think it's, you know, sometimes it's definitely, you know, not positive, that's for sure. But sometimes, most of the time for me, I would say 98% of the time, I'm not really that even, I really don't even care. I mean, it's just effect. It's just trying to get the kids to a place. Now, I try the, hey, come on in here. Let's think about how we're doing this here. And let's think about this drill. And let's think about the way we're moving the puck here. And
Mike, you sound so sarcastic the way you're saying that right now.
I mean, not every kid responds.
Well, I am. And that's a horrible flaw in my coaching personality. No doubt about it. It's the sarcasm is not good. Right. So it's like, you know, but I try to use it as more like to lighten the mood and in the, you know, on the ice there with the kids, right. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys ever seen this, there's a YouTube guy that goes out and he's a pitching coach or, you know, youth baseball coach. And he goes out, he said, you know, he'll give the kid, the pitcher he's taking the ball from, he'll give him the old, you know, well, it's a good thing you just don't play baseball. Or if your parents really told you you're a great athlete, they were wrong. But the kids get it, right? Ouch. It's like, it's just, yeah. And it is, it's hard.
Candlesticks, my candlestick.
Right. It's, and I think it's just like for me, the yelling. So there's a lot of different yelling. I think when you see coaching, there's yelling, like when you, like I'll literally be on the bench and I'll hear coaches yelling and I'll kind of give the old, I'll look down the other end, like, what's he yelling at? He's winning 4-0 right now. I mean, or screaming out of his mind. And, you know, so to me, yelling and screaming, like at an official, at a kid on the ice, at about another player, that's different than yelling. Like,
right.
Even if you're going to yell directions, and I get it, we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be joysticking the kids out there, you know, making them go where we want them to go. I get all that. But a lot of times we're out there, you want to help, you think you're helping and you want to help move the puck. But, and I will say on the parent side, the kids do not hear you. They do not hear you. It's Charlie Brown teacher mode, you know, and it's just distracting and it really undermines. The coach is yelling. So let the coach yell. And if you're yelling, then there's too many yellers. And I think it's just too distracting. But, you know, for me, the screaming and yelling and losing your mind piece is a little less, you know, I think to your point, Chrissy, I don't think it really isn't as effective tool as it maybe it was, you know, even 15 years ago when I was when I got coached, I was like, oh, my God, this guy's lost his mind. Like, I got to wake up. And, you know, the F-bombs would be going and you'd feel intimidated. But I think we've, like everything else that we've hopefully do, we become educated and find different ways to reach the kids and to make an influence and find progression. And oftentimes, just by the nature of who our kids are right now, you know, a positive spin on the loud vocal direction is usually better.
Well, yeah. Let's dive into this a little bit. So first things first, Mike, if you ever get a racehorse, you have to name it Situational Screamer. That's going to be the name of your racehorse. All right. He's going to be a Triple Crown winner one day.
Yeah.
You're sure the jockey will be on top.
If you're a part of football this weekend, right? If you're a football fan this weekend, all you heard was situational screaming.
That's true.
Right. It's just like, this is basic situational,
right?
You know, sports. Like, right. This is what you do. When this happens, this happens. So when my situational screaming is, okay, I've got to get their attention. I'm going to let the whole rink know that I'm getting their attention.
That's key, though. That's key.
I'm situationally getting their attention.
Because there's different types of yelling, all right? And I think that we have to kind of break it down a little bit.
Yes,
so,
let's break it down.
Yeah,
there's different types. Yeah, the type of yelling, I wasn't talking about a coach yelling during a game. I get that. That needs to be done. Screaming, you know, that if something, right, you know, didn't go right or the other coach was an idiot. I totally get that. Directing it toward one kid in particular, you know, always screaming at one kid. I think that's wrong.
It's totally right. You know, and I was going to say this too. Look, and anybody born before 1985 had a coach that did that, because that's the way it was done for a long time. Coaches would lay into kids and lay into players from the NHL all the way down. You saw how, you know, Herb Brooks treated his players. And I'm a huge Herb Brooks fan. And that was correct for the time. I think that's another big part of this. A lot of these are inherited traits. We get it from our parents. We pass it down to our kids.
And I don't know if it was correct as much as it was accepted, right?
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike. That's a great point. Here's the thing. It was responded to at that time, too.
Yeah.
That's a good point. In my opinion, and again, this is where I always have like two minds on this. Today's kids don't respond well to that. It's not how the world works. But there's a huge but here. It doesn't mean we're not going to be stern with players. It doesn't mean we're not going to point out fallacies and help them improve. I always like to say this. I don't want to be soft. I don't want my kids to be soft, and I don't want to be soft on my kids. But I also want to be conducive. So communication and trust are very important in a team environment. I need to know if a player is not motivated by screaming. All right. And coaches, if you were motivated by that, and this is the key from my point of view, Christy, is if you were motivated by yelling, you should not just assume that every kid is motivated the same way. All right. When I was in high school, I had a coach who was a massive screamer, massive yeller. And the thing, I gave him credit for this because he was super intimidating, like prior to getting to the varsity team. Like everyone was scared of this guy. But I remember when we got there and this was key. He said in the locker room, I remember he's like, look, I scream a lot. I yell a lot. But I care about you guys. He goes, I'll always talk with you after the game. That's just how I coach. And whether he was right or wrong for doing that on the bench to me was irrelevant at that point. He was being very clear with us that, like, I'm not going to, you know, punish you if I'm screaming at you. That's just how I communicate. It was outdated. He's not the coach there anymore. All right. But effective communication is the key with any type of communication, whether it's yelling or not. So, Mike, you made a good point. It is so hard at any level. Doesn't matter if it's 8U all the way up to the NHL. It is so hard to not project things, right? It's hard. You're thinking them. But what I find is this, and this is the mistake a lot of youth coaches make in my opinion, all right? And by youth, again, I mean high school down. You're shouting everything that comes into your mind, everything. And the problem is that we can't, it's people, especially kids, they can't take 50 instructions a game, put them in their brain, and then apply them. All right. And again, an 18-year-old can do a few more than an 8-year-old, but you got to really pick and choose. Like I said, on our 8U team right now, Mike, it's like, what are the two or three? I kind of ask this question every game. What are the two or three things we want to focus on this game? It's completely developmental level, like completely developmental. The score really doesn't matter. There's no playoffs here, you know, and it's an 8U thing. Okay. So it's skating the whole game. It's looking for a pass and it's understanding defensive positioning. That's it today. All right. And I hear coaches on my team, other teams, skate hard, go through the man, get behind the net. It's like, whoa, guys, too much. And that is the joystick thing. But it all comes from a good place. And that's the other part of this, right, Mike and Christie? Like, I know they want to help. And I do too. And I catch myself doing this. I don't want anybody to think I'm infallible in this too. I do it too, right? Especially my own kids on the ice. Move faster, go to the net, do this, right? I have to bring it back and say, okay, calm down. Coach the kids on the bench, not the kids on the ice. They're playing, right? I always say that to myself. Like, you got to coach the kids on the bench. That's real coaching, right? But again, if you're screaming with the intent to intimidate, the intent to scare a kid, I don't think that's humiliate. The right way to do it. Yeah, humiliating is a great word. Yeah.
Humiliate them. That's terrible.
I don't think that that's correct. I think there's a better way to handle it.
Yeah.
And I do not understand the ego involved with anybody 18 down to motivate them to humiliate them. I don't understand it. That's not a problem with the kid, in my opinion.
Agree. So when was the last time you yelled at somebody, Mike?
Yeah, situational screamer.
Well,
you can't ask Mike that. He coaches every day.
We want to analyze you.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Yeah, so how many hours ago were you on the ice, Mike?
I do yell. And it's, I hope that my kids, because I communicate to them often that when I'm yelling, when I'm directing, when I'm situationally screaming at them, that it's more like, listen, you gotta help me here. You gotta wake up. We are now doing this. I try to stay away from, we've done this 7 times. You guys still aren't getting it right. Like, that's right. My problem then. I just didn't.
Right. That's a great point, Mike. That's a good point. That's on the coach. I mean,
you know, that's what you're teaching not to fail. You're teaching for success, right? So you got to find a better way to teach. But when you're teaching 15 players and 16 players and 17 players, my frustration probably as an individual gets to the point where when you're coaching and you're committing all this time and you do put out all the information out there and you do review drills and certain players still either A, don't respond to that or in a different world at that time of the day or just not really interested in being out there, you know, I tend to fall on the side of, listen, are you with me or not with me? Because I can yell at you or I can just have you all come off the ice and then I don't need to deal with you anymore. So I'm trying to deal with you here in a situation where I'm going to, you know, and I do, I'll bark at a young man and I'll feel shame and I'll try to give him a little, you know, positive reinforcement right after that. And a lot of ways you just got to know your kids. You got to know your players. Some kids like me and to Lee's point, like I responded to barking. Like I responded to somebody saying, you literally are garbage today. Like you cannot play hockey today. I'm like, cool. I'll tell you, I can play hockey today. I'm going to go run through somebody right now. Like I'm going to kill somebody. And I'd play like, but again, that was
you
15, yeah. 16, 17 years old. And that coach probably found something that said, oh, this guy's got a little chip on his shoulder and I'm going to bring that chip out. And so, and to Lee's point, like I hate that term and I use it all the time is about being soft on my kids. Cause I want my kids to be soft. Like I want my kids to be embracing, and being emotionally, you know, stable and being like in our mind of being soft. And I think parents and kids, and this is, you know, with the term situational yelling, so it came to be because I almost have to fake it sometimes because I think the kids think you care when you lose your mind.
Why would they do that though?
Say, oh, right. look at Mike. He's really getting them. He's really getting them going. And I'm like, is that what I have to do?
Break down the psychology. Break down the psychology behind that. Why would that happen? It's because what do we do as parents? It's nothing to do with hockey. What do we do with parents when our kids are bad? Not some parents, and they're better than me. And I mean this, you know, I get heated with my kids and I'll raise my voice a lot at home and I'm trying to work on it. It's not something I'm super proud of. Again, I don't berate my kid. I don't call them idiots or anything like that. All right. But I do raise my voice at home a lot. So I'm teaching my kid that there's that attitude has a reaction. Right now, I don't want to do that though. Okay. Other thing too with being soft,
test you too to see how much they can get away with.
It's a two-way street for sure.
Like, they know how far they can go before Mom blows her stack.
Yeah, they know. Like, and you're not really mad. You're not really mad.
But that's my point, guys. That's where this comes from. So there's a preconceived notion with coaching. And I want to clarify, when I say soft, what I mean by that is an inability to deal with adversity. To me, that is soft. Okay? So I don't want to put my kids in any situation, coaching or my actual kids, where I'm not helping them be better at dealing with adversity. So what I'm saying is, if a kid gets upset because I sternly told them something, okay, as long as I did it the right way, if they're crying, I might console them, but it's like, hey, you got to get up. You got to get up. We're not going to sit here and cry too much. We're going to accept what's happening and move forward. All right. Now, 99% of the time, I'm not the reason they're crying. Okay. It's something happened. All right. But it's like, and same thing like injuries at 8U. Or you don't have to use 8U with kids. When they fall down, if they're not seriously injured, I was taught, and this is how I do it, is get up and move forward.
Are you hurt? Right. No.
Yeah.
If you're not hurt,
no.
Get up.
Yeah. If something's broken or there's blood, or something like that, totally different situation. But you know, if you twisted yourself a little bit, and again, I'm not rude to the kids, guys, but I said, okay, let me see it. Can you move it? Is it all right? All right. You know, hit my hand. Okay, good. Let's go. Boom. That's it. I don't spend more time on it than that. All right. Again, I'm going to reiterate this. If a kid is seriously injured or I believe them to be injured, that is not how that conversation goes.
I fell down skiing the other day and I laid down for like 5-6 minutes. I couldn't get up and I probably could have got up. I wasn't really hurt. I was more embarrassed, but you're right. It's like, okay, assess the situation. Are you laying there like, you know, somebody just ran over you with a truck and nothing really happened?
Right.
Get up. Let's go. Brush it off.
Yeah.
You know, but again, yeah, and it is, but again, that's education, right? It's like, oh boy, this kid really got hurt. I better let him experience
right
the fact that they think they're hurt. Their pain is not my pain.
I'll give you a great hockey example. This will make you guys laugh. I was doing team building with my team a couple of weeks ago. My daughter was there. My daughter's 5. And she had a complete meltdown next to me while I was talking to the 8-year-olds, and all the parents are there. And I just completely ignored her. But it was a silly reason she was breaking down, just to be fair. Okay. Like, it was nothing, right? I just ignored her. I kept talking, and a few minutes went by and she kind of lost interest and moved away. But that's how I deal with it. I'm not going to acknowledge the silliness of that situation. Right. Now, if something was wrong with her, that it would have been a different, but that's a good analogy. And another story I want to tell you guys. So, and this just happened last weekend, and that's why my voice is the way it is. So one of the reasons I raised my voice, I want to say this, it was a difference between yelling and raising your voice. I was at this arena. We had a completely horrendous second period. For any of the parents on my team listening to the show, I think I've told everybody what happened here, but had a horrendous second period. Okay. And I'm sitting on the bench. Keep in mind, I'm the assistant coach. So I asked the head coaches, I asked, may I speak between periods? And then just do it. All right. I think that's the right way to do it. And I really thought about what I was going to say. And I, because of this show, I was like, you really need to think about how you're going to say this, what you're about to say, because you don't want to say it the wrong way. So I got everybody on the bench very quickly. I was very, very, you could tell with my face, I was very stern. Like, I was not messing around. And I raised my voice because I had to talk over the music, and I looked all the kids in the eyes, and I know I had their attention because they weren't doing the typical 8U thing where they're looking everywhere but me. And I said, and Mike, this goes to your point of sometimes you have to raise your voice. Right. And I said, we are playing scared. We are scared to make mistakes right now. You cannot play this game afraid to make mistakes. And I reiterated, I don't care about the score. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be mad at you for making mistakes, but I will be mad at you for being afraid to make a mistake. All right. You have to try. And then I preach teamwork again, because that's what I do with the team. You're not playing as a team. You're playing as individuals. And guys, again, I said it very sternly and probably very loudly. And I'm not saying this is because of me. We have a great team. We have a great coaching staff. They had the best third period in a while. They completely came back and won the third period. That was a situation where a voice needed to be raised, and I needed to snap them out of the thinking that they had. To me, that is the correct time to do it. But again, chose the time. I didn't do this in the middle of the second period when we were getting crushed. I wanted to, but Mike, to your point, would they have heard me? Would they even have listened to me? Would it have processed? No. I needed to, like I said, with the kids, I needed to let them go through this process. Keep in mind that the score doesn't matter. The period ended. That was the right time to do it. And it had a positive effect. I'm going to reiterate again. I'm not saying I'm the only one who did this. It's not because of me. We had a good third period. All right. These kids are well-parented. They're well-coached. The scenario was right for them to receive that information in the way I was doing it. and they applied it at 8 years old, because I'm always told that 8 year olds can't deal with that stuff. That's BS. All right. So coaches, and I want your guys on this. If you're going to raise your voice, think, what am I about to say? If you're doing that impulsively a lot, by the way, you really need to think about it. You really need to think about it if you're impulsively screaming all the time. It's not good. Think about, what are you going to say? What is the goal of your message? That's the other part of it, right? When you're impulsively screaming, there's no goal other than saying, okay, I know what I'm talking about. That's it. Or I want to win. I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. That's not great at any level. You got to let the kids figure that out. What is the goal of what I'm saying? How am I going to say it? How will they respond to it? All right. And here's another part of it, guys. Do I need to talk to some kids individually that might not respond to that? All right. Mike, you said this before. This has happened to me this year and at every level I've coached. If I talk to a kid or a pro, and maybe I reassess it immediately after, it's like, you know what, that didn't go the way I wanted it to go, or I was a little too hard in that conversation, make a mental note. And I always do this. I go to the kid after the game or when the time is right and say, listen, I might have been a little egregious there and I apologize. I know you don't like the way I talk like that. This is what I was trying to say. This is what I want you to do. I appreciate you're here and I want you to know that. That's not soft. That's actually strong, right? I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Let's work together, all right? I care about you and I want you to know that. I'm talking a lot again, but I have a lot of feelings on this stuff, right? Because if there's not that trust connection of I'm raising my voice or I care about you, any player will understand if you scream at them, if they know you care, you just got a little heated, they'll understand that. But if you're trying to develop fear in your kids, which make no mistake, it's probably not anybody listening to this show, but I've seen it. I've seen it today, right? Coaches trying to scare their kids into submission. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? You're not helping these kids for life. You're teaching them to be afraid to make a mistake. The whole game is about capitalizing on other people's mistakes. The whole game. So don't do that. Encourage them to learn from their mistakes. Create accountable teams. Now I'm yelling at you, audience. Okay, I'm going to stop now because this is my point.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Not to make the kids feel like making a mistake is a horrible thing. Because go back to their basic skills. You tell them to fall, right? Because falling means that you're learning.
Yeah.
Get back up and keep skating. You want them to fall. You want them to make mistakes. And throughout their hockey career, it's okay to get creative, to try something, go out, think outside the box, you know, and it's sometimes by letting them have that freedom of not being afraid to make a mistake, all of a sudden you're developing some really creative, great hockey players.
Good point.
And if your kid is dealing with a coach, and this is, you know, we had one year, we had a coach who, he just couldn't control his temper, and it went beyond losing your temper in the heat of the moment during a game. He was just a constant yeller, and you could see the kids shutting down and not really responding. So what I said to my son was, you know, he is a good coach. He knows his stuff. He's not really good at communicating that. He's a yeller, but what you can do is change your attitude. You can be more positive. You can be a better team player. You can be a faster skater. Change what you can control. You can't control him, but you can control you, especially your attitude. And it did seem to help him. He kind of got that.
Yeah. You know, another thing, Christy, you're bringing up another great point. You're making me think about this. This is where captains come in. And this is where coaches, you have to enable your captains to be able to tell you stuff that the team is afraid to say to you, right?
Yeah,
and this, the older you get, the more important this gets. I remember, look, when I was coaching college, I'll make myself completely vulnerable here. I was all about team building. And I really feel like I knew my stuff, but I was so young that I wanted people to know that I knew my stuff. There was an ego there, a big one, right? I was 23. I was a head coach of a college team. I wanted people to know I know this game, right? And that's a typical mistake that young 20-year-olds make. All right. And I remember the captain of the team, I really enabled my captains. I used to tell them, I understood the concept, but I wasn't always great at applying them. But I told them, I need you to tell me, I need you to be the pulse on the team. And I remember he came up to me one time and this hurt, but I'm glad he did it. He said, you know, you only ever tell us when we're doing stuff wrong. And the team said that it's bothering us. You never tell us when we're doing stuff good. And I remember thinking, because I was yelling at them on the bench, like, you're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. And I remember thinking, that's not true. I tell you guys all the good things you do. You know what was happening, guys? I was saying it in my head and I wasn't saying it out loud. I was noticing it, but I was not saying it. And I give that captain a ton of credit. The guts to come up to me, and we're almost the same age. Like I'm 23, 24 years old. He's probably 21, 22 to say, Lee, you only tell us when we're doing bad. The guys think you don't notice any of the good stuff. I have so much respect for that entire situation that he had the guts to do that. I'm very thankful I enabled him to do that earlier in the season. And it changed how I coach. Right. And again, even at the pro level, I was an assistant coach. I had a captain come to me. I had head coaches talking for 45 minutes before the game on the chalkboard. You know, we can't follow that, you know, and I had to go to the head coach and tell him, but that's how it's supposed to work. Right. Was the head coach happy? No. Did he listen? Yes. All right. I got a whole thing about how, when he was growing up, this is how it was done. That's not good coaching. You got to find what works for your team in the here and the now. But coaches, enable your captain. Hopefully you have a captain that will be able to do this. And again, make sure that the captain's being rational, that the team did say that. And, you know, I'd rather a captain come up to a coach and say, listen, we don't like the way you're doing this. And if the coach doesn't want to change that, that's okay. But at least have a talk with your team of, this is why I'm doing this. All right. And I am the coach and I do make this decision. All right. Coaches lose locker rooms all the time, guys. They lose locker rooms all the time because they're not effectively communicating and the trust is not there. But back to yelling. No, my point is this. You got to be in a position where, and Mike, I'd like your thoughts on this. One is your ego is not coming through. I always analyze with myself and coaches that I coach, are you saying X, Y, and Z to tell people that you know? And you, by the way, you see this all the time when kids come on the bench to help you coach, all the time, right? The kid in the helmet, go here, go there, do this, do that. All right. And I pull that kid aside because they want to be there. I said, listen, you're just telling the kids what you would do and what you know. That's not coaching. As Mike said, that's joysticking. That was a great comment, by the way. Right? I said, I tell the kid, I don't care how old they are. Tell the kids on the bench, if you know what to do, what you would do, but coach them. Don't just scream on the ice what you would do. That's I'm not blaming a kid for this, but if that's an ego coming through of, I know a lot about the game, right? That's not coaching. That's being a fan. Yeah. Coaching is, okay, I know about the situation and asking this question. How can I convey the information that I know to make this kid better at hockey? That's coaching. And part of coaching is, okay, these kids need me to be better. I need to be better. That's coaching. By the way, every USA Hockey development course says this somewhere deep within all of the stuff that they do. But let's turn to an actual USA Hockey coach, level 5, with a beard, Mike Bonelli, the situational screamer.
Mike, hey, situational screamer, level 5. We want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I just, like I said, I'm guilty of all this stuff. I mean, when you coach long enough and you've been involved with enough different groups of type of kids, right? You just have to sometimes you get used to being with a group of kids and you feel like that screaming, that yelling, that projecting is maybe viewed differently because you're like, oh, he's just yelling down the bench or he's trying to get our attention or, but you know, that's one of the hard, that, listen, that's the hardest part about it. It's one of the reasons I hate the youth hockey system. I hate the fact that you have kids for 5 or 6 months and then you don't have a new, then you have a new group of kids for 5 or 6 months and then a new group of kids, because by the time you really get to know a human being and a parent and they get to know you, it's over. That's why like the high school and college and prep school, that's why these programs are so successful, because you can either evolve within that time frame or really you get to educate yourself and they get to educate themselves about you. And it just builds, it's a whole different way of looking at it. So I think a lot of the way, like for me, a lot of the screaming and the yelling is all based off of just saying, oh, you know, boys, let's go. Let's wake up here. Like we got to, this is something you know, you should know by now, or we've been working on this and I need you to, you know, really be attuned to where I'm at. I don't know. I think it's very hard to sit there and be in a room and be calm about like something you want to project. And listen, teachers do it every day, right? Your math teacher doesn't lose their mind because you're not, they don't start screaming at you down the aisle, like you, Benelli down the corner. What the hell are you doing? Like, how do you not know how to hold a pencil by this point? Or you don't know how to turn your computer on? What are you, a moron? Like, how do you not know this by now? And that's what I feel. That's what you end up doing is when you're coaching lacrosse, baseball, soccer. It just, sometimes it's wrong. It's an evolutionary piece of coming into coaching where you think, i.e. this is maybe the way you were coached, that to get somebody's attention and to keep players from being soft and from motivating comes from your ability to project. And again, sometimes, like I said earlier, sometimes that's manufactured. And most times, like I don't remember the last time I've lost my mind, like uncontrollably, like that I wasn't in control of the messaging. And again, it's so funny because I'm so aware of not doing it to parents and to officials. Like, you'll never see me lose. I mean, to a point where I can't yell at an official. I'm like, well, I can't even get myself to even be this concerned about this play. like where the parents are all going crazy up in the stands. And you almost look like, in my experience, it almost looks like you don't care if you're not yelling.
Right.
And that's not the case. And I think it's that being, being an ability to juggle that and say, listen, I'm not yelling because I don't care. I'm not yelling because I'm just trying to keep the situation in control.
Yeah. Mike, I'll follow this up on that to kind of round this episode out is that first things first, look, every coach listening to this, every parent listening to this, you got to do it your way. Right. There's no right or wrong way to do it. I think we all communally agree that it is wrong to humiliate a kid. It is wrong to demean a kid. I think we all agree on that. And, this is the question I often ask myself. And Mike, you actually just made me think this is, it's a fair question. Are you yelling because you care? Right. Because that's actually correct. Right. If the answer to that question is yes, all right, you're on the right path. Right. You care. Right. That's important. All right. And then you got to ask yourself right after that, okay, is yelling the most conducive way to get my message across? Every coach has to answer that for themselves because every single team and every single kid is different. All right. And like I said, there are still kids out there that are motivated by aggressive behavior. All right. But it doesn't mean it's all. And like you said, to referees and parents, should be really zero tolerance. You should not be yelling at refs. I don't care how bad the call is. All right. They're volunteering their time in most cases, are getting paid very little. We know there's an epidemic with referees leaving. They should not take the brunt of that. Yeah, if they make a bad call, you can talk with them about it, but never yelling. And then, Mike, the last point I want to make, you talked about, well, yelling shows that I care. Personally, I'm not worried about anybody's thoughts on whether or not they deem that as, oh, that coach cares, he yells a lot. I have to coach the way that I coach. And I'm going to coach the way I feel is the best way for my kids, the people that I care about. And if a parent doesn't like that, they can always talk to me. But I always equate yelling in that manner, like to fandom. Is the guy that's yelling at his TV when the Bills lose because of a coin toss, and they didn't lose because of that, and then throws his chair through his TV and starts screaming at the TV, is that the biggest Bills fan in the world because he does that? He cares because he's willing to break his TV and scream. That's not what makes him a big Bills fan. In fact, it's ridiculous to me. The biggest fan is the person who dedicates them their time. They read, they learn, they get involved. And you know what happens? You're not a fan after a while. You're in the game at that point. Biggest fan of the Bills is probably the players on the Bills. So anyway, any final thoughts?
I can't believe we lost last night. Who lost? We. Who?
Yeah, we lost.
We lost.
We lost because of a coin toss. No, I mean, it's
part. You had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
you
weighed in.
I think you're yelling that. And just to clarify, on my side too, I think it's like I'm not screaming because I want the parents to think I care.
Right.
I'm thinking that's the perception sometimes when you look up and down the bench, and the kids are like they are just conditioned to think you don't care. Like, oh, he doesn't even care. He's never yelling at us. He never gets off.
Well, you got to talk with the team, though. This is where communication's everything, right? Yeah, you got to say, look, I'm not yelling.
I think it's just weird how kids equate, like Mike. Listen, I no doubt in my mind have kids that would love for me to line them up in the goal line and sprint the crap out of them for 15 minutes because they lost the game. Like, oh, we lost yesterday. You think coach is going to skate us tomorrow?
Right.
Like, no, why would I waste all my time skating you tomorrow?
Right.
But that's, I mean, how you, why coach, would I waste my time?
Yeah, that's how you coach. And like I said, I don't disagree with you, but this is, like, again, you all have to find your own way in this. Like I said, right, my first practice I ever ran, 60 minutes, no pucks, but I gave them a reason. I wanted them to understand this is what it's like to skate for 60 minutes. You have to have an understanding of that if you're going to play the game. And then the team asked me for that practice later on in the season. So yeah, look, every team is different. Every team is the same, but yeah, I'm going to close on that, Mike. It's just that coaches, you have to figure this out, but you know, warning, word of warning, check your ego, understand why you're doing it. Ask yourself, do I really care? Is that why I'm doing it? Hopefully the answer is yes. All right. And then look into your own life. Is this how I was motivated as a kid? All right. And if it's working, by the way, if it's working, you feel like it's working, right, just analyze it. Make sure it's working for the right reasons, right? You don't want your players to be terrified of you. And that time has come and gone. I'm going to say this too, Mike, and Christy, there was a time that coaching was accepted and potentially effective. Bobby Knights of the world. I think Herb Brooks would actually fit into that with 1980. Right. There was a time. All right. But I don't feel, by and large, that time is here anymore. And I think that mental fitness and mental strength is now more important than being afraid to make mistakes. I think you'll have a stronger team by doing what I just said than yelling at them. That's my opinion, though. Okay. Again, we always say this on the show. These are just opinions. Like, we're experts in some things, but y'all got to do it their own way. Okay. Any closing thoughts before we end this episode? I'm going to go to Christy Casciano Burns first. Yeah. It looks like she wants to say something.
I thought this was a great discussion. And it really, hopefully it gives coaches a lot to think about, and parents too.
Right. That's the goal.
Remember, you know, we're not saying yelling is a horrible thing. It's part of our lives. We all do it. But yelling to motivate is different than yelling to humiliate.
That's another great quote. We're gonna put that on a horse too. Now, Christy, that's a great point. And Mike, I think you made some good points. Mike, I want to say this to you, Mike. I admire you because you're sorry, something's in my eye for those of you watching. I admire you, Mike, because you're always willing to make yourself vulnerable here and say, yeah, I do that and it's probably wrong. You know, like that takes a lot of guts to do it. I appreciate that you're willing to do that because I think other coaches need to see you do that. I mean, not you, Mike Minnelli.
I'll try not to do it this weekend, but I you know, but it's just because it is, it's just, but again, I try to be where I catch myself. I'm like, okay, this, like, you know, back in the day when you're throwing a clipboard across the locker room and knocking over a stick rack and, you know, slamming the door and peeling the paint off the walls because your team just gave up a goal in the second period. I don't know. I think it all depends on where you are and who you're with and what you're doing. And then really what you think you're going to get out of your team. Yeah, I do believe that sometimes a good lashing does work, probably not with a 6-year-old, but you know, and to me, and the only advice I can give to parents is if you really want to yell, get your lips right between that glass. Like, you got to get it between the glass.
Just open the door during the game.
Yeah. Just screaming. Might as well go all out and do it because you yelling, and the quarter inch glass is in the way. It's not effective.
Mike, how about this? You're yelling a lot as a parent during a game. And I mean this, parents, I'm sorry. If you're yelling a lot, coach, go become a coach.
Right. The other team.
Coach from there. Yeah. I mean that sincerely. I sincerely mean that. If you are that passionate about it, volunteer to coach. We need you. Okay. And I'm just going to close on this note. And I've said this before. It's a quote I use a lot when I coach coaches. Good coaches know everything. Great coaches know they know nothing. You have to constantly be evolving. If you're a screamer and you listen to this today and you're going to analyze yourself, that's really great. That's awesome. As coaches, we constantly have to reevaluate ourselves. We constantly have to reevaluate our approach. That's coaching. There is no one right way that is true forever. It does not work that way. We are evolving all the time. Coaching has evolved tremendously over the last 15 years. So, this episode was about yelling. I think it was a really great discussion. All right. And that's why we have this show, to create these discussions. And hopefully you can have these discussions with you and yours and your community. Thanks so much for listening. As always, make sure that if you're listening to this, you subscribe, write reviews, let people know about the show. It is growing tremendously, and we appreciate all the loyal listeners that we have. But that's going to do it for this edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. For Christy Casciano Burns and Mike Bonelli, I'm Lee Elias. We'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.